This week, April 22 to April 28, is Allergy Awareness Week. And the topic for this year is on childhood food allergies. You may have seen some reports over the last couple of years that there is a concern that there might be an increase in allergies. Is this accurate? Do you have a child that has a food allergy, and maybe you have a question about how to get it diagnosed, what you should know about that allergy? Maybe you're trying to understand that allergy. We are joined on the line by specialist pediatrician and allergist Dr. Tulja Trikamji joins us, and you can give us a call right now on 011-883-0702. Send us your WhatsApp messages on 0727021702. Dr. Trikamji, a very good morning to you and welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Morning, Google Earth 2. Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to be joining you.
Thank you very much for your time. So let's start with, so when we're talking about allergies, just what is an allergy?
So, you know, it's a very, very simple thing. There's a lot of confusion around it because a lot of the time, and it's quite important because a lot of the time, a lot of things that are not an allergy get mistaken for the allergy. So as a start, it's important for patients, the general public, to understand the true definition. It's usually an abnormal reaction that your body has to something that it ordinarily should not react to. And generally, when we talk about a true allergy, what we're referring to is your immune system. That's the part of your body where your immune system detects or reacts to a protein in something, either in the air or in something that we eat, that it should ordinarily not mount a response to. And now there's an antibody in your body that is going to make it respond to this.
And so you speak about a true allergy. What would make something a true allergy versus, I guess, not being a true allergy?
So, you know, when we look at allergies, like I said, there's a lot of misconceptions and misunderstandings. And, you know, you just mentioned now in your intro that we hear about allergies and, you know, food allergies are on the rise. And one of the reasons for that is, yes, food allergies are generally increasing in the world, but it's also because there's a lot of media hype around the word allergy. And we find that very often people get mistaken, or the public feel that they might be allergic to something that they don't necessarily have an actual immune, what we refer to as an immune-mediated reaction. So when we say true allergy, what we're trying to distinguish is this person actually having a reaction? Because sometimes you could drink a bit of extra milk or have a bit of extra wheat and you might feel, for example, maybe just a bit bloated. You can get a bit of cramping. People sometimes just feel, I don't generally feel well after I've eaten this specific thing. And then often the word allergy gets thrown around. And this is important to distinguish, because when you have a true allergy, what's happening is that your entire body is reacting in a way that can often be fatal. So when we talk about true food allergy, what we're referring to is that your immune system can have such a negative response that you can almost land up in the ER. And this would generally include your entire body. Mm-hmm. That means you can have tightness in your throat, you can have tightness in your chest, your skin can break out into a complete reaction. You know, people might say that, you know, I eat that food, within 5 minutes, I start to feel a bit unconscious, I feel unwell. You know, unless I take some medication, my lip might get swollen up, my tongue might get swollen up. And these often, you know, there's a wide range of what patients might struggle with. And this is why it's often difficult for us to work out with the patient what their threshold is. But that's why it's so important when you are a patient or when you're public and you want to know, am I allergic to this? Am I not allergic to this? Is this dangerous for me? Is it not? And if it is dangerous for me, do I need to avoid it? And is this something that I can manage? And what do I do if there's been an accident? These are all really, really important things that you need to work out with your allergy specialist, because this could be the difference between, you know, like I said, a visit to the ER. And really, unfortunately, sometimes, especially in children, you know, our Allergy Awareness Week this time is focusing on food allergies in children, you know, it can sometimes be a life or death scenario when you're at school or if there's an accident at a social gathering or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, do we know what causes allergies? Are allergies genetic? Are they environmental? Is it sometimes a combination of those two things?
Yeah, so Google, you know, you have opened Pandora's box there because you know that we talk so much about allergies, and I get this asked this question every day by my patients and by my patients' parents because often a lot of parents today want to know why when we talk about genetics, because yes, genetics do play a role, but there's a host of factors. But parents often say, well, if genetics played a role, why is it that now, invariably, someone in my kid's class, always, someone in my kid's class, no matter which school they go to, you always hear that there's somebody there who has an allergy, whether it's a milk allergy or a nut allergy. And every time we go to a restaurant, we hear now from waiters, tell us about your allergy demands. And for example, 20 years ago, when I was young, this wasn't an issue. So genetics, yes, play a role, but to answer the question of a lot of parents now or a lot of adults now who say, well, if genetics played a role, then why was I not affected as much as my children are? We do carry the same genetics. And that now refers to something which we call epigenetics and environmental factors. So, you know, with epigenetics, we're essentially looking at how prevalences around the world and how what's happening in the world affect genetics as well. And then you're quite correct when you talked about environmental. There's a whole host of factors with the environment. So the one is climate change is happening and climate change is real. And health factors and allergies being one of them is a true result of that, where you know, somebody could have been allergic to grass pollen 30 years ago and wouldn't have been as badly affected. But the same person allergic to grass pollen now would be more affected with symptoms because the quality of the air you breathe is not the same as it was 30 years ago. So pollution has played a role in that. And then with the environment, we also look at things like, you know, the fact that the earth is warming up, even if it's 1 to 2 degrees Celsius a year. The warming of the earth means that we're having what we call extended seasons. So our springs and our summers are longer, meaning that you've got environmental things that are in the air that people are allergic to longer. So, mm-hmm. you know, if spring and summer is longer, you've got grass pollen and tree pollen that lasts in the air for more months. So somebody who says that, you know, I have hay fever from grass pollen or tree pollen, usually they might have struggled for 2 months and gotten a bit better. And now they're struggling and struggling and struggling longer, mm-hmm. which means their symptoms are worse. And then the repercussions of their symptoms become worse then. And in general, we are finding that, you know, with research, specific genes are now being factored into as well and genes being modified within people. And that also is leading to an increased general prevalence all around the world. You know, I must add here too that, you know, obviously we're speaking about the South African context here. So we do research in why allergies are increasing globally and then are we on par in South Africa and what's happening here among our population. And before, I would say, 2022, we knew this was a global rise, but we didn't have hard data. As allergists, we saw it in our patients here, but we now have research even on the South African continent, in the South African context, among our Black African ethnic population. You know, we're looking at children in our rural areas as well. We've done research in the rural Eastern Cape where we found that even though our percentages might not be as high as Australia, for example, we are seeing a rise even in Africa.
The theme for this year for Allergy Awareness Week is around childhood food energy, food allergies. And when we speak about food allergies, what exactly are we talking about? Which are the most common? I think many of us know, for instance, people who are allergic to peanuts. I think peanut allergies maybe not a popular one, but a well-known one. What are some of the other types that are also quite prevalent and common?
So when we look at food allergies, specifically with children, important distinction to make is usually, and this is also something I think I would love for listeners to know, is that usually with children, they would present with these food allergies that I'm going to mention usually earlier on in life. Often because allergies are given such a huge spotlight, you know, like you rightfully said, it is popular. I agree with you, you know, popular meaning that a lot of people hear about it. So a lot of people are afraid of it. You know, whenever moms want to feed their kids peanuts, they kind of have that anxiety of, oh my God, what if my child reacts? And that's partially because we see it so much in the media. We see it on social media. Unfortunately, you know, doctors hate social media as a source of information generally, because yes, it can empower you, but it can also give you a lot of incorrect or what we call misinformation. So when you have these allergies, and these allergies we refer to, the common big ones are, like you said, peanuts. Peanuts are really important because peanut can be deadly. Milk. Wheat, egg allergy, then we're looking at soy allergy, and then related to your peanuts, we also see our tree nuts. So that's your hazelnuts, your almonds, your cashews, your pistachios, all of those allergies as well. And then lastly is your seafood allergy. Those are generally considered the main food allergy types. You could literally be allergic to absolutely any food, but those generally are the more important ones that children would present with. Children would usually present with these allergies earlier on in life, meaning that once your immune system is exposed to it, that's when your immune system is going to decide, yes, I'm going to be allergic to this or I'm not going to be allergic to it, because our immune systems are quite sharp and quite clever, and they now know how to build antibodies. So often adults, when they say in their 20s or 30s, come to see me or would read up about or suddenly be told by doctors or be sold by discredited laboratories. And we've got some laboratories globally, but we have some of these in South Africa where they're being sold food allergy tests. Mm-hmm. If you've tolerated milk your entire life, it is very unlikely, close to impossible, that when you're 17, 18, all the way up to the day you die, that you're suddenly going to wake up one day and be allergic to milk. And I know this is going to ruffle a lot of feathers, and a lot of listeners will probably think, no, but I've been told and I'm avoiding milk and I'm dead sure I have milk allergy. But it's virtually impossible that you develop an allergy to something, specifically something like a milk or egg or wheat, after you've tolerated it. Mm-hmm. And this coming back to children and with the food allergy awareness is, this is why it's so important when a child is young to identify this allergy, if they're truly allergic to it, if they have a true food allergy, and manage that allergy appropriately. Because when you manage the kids properly when they're younger, meaning that we have data suggesting that a lot of children should outgrow their food allergies. So if we're now monitoring them when they outgrow their food allergy and we're feeding them the foods at the right time when they have outgrown it, when they grow up to be adults, they shouldn't ideally have that allergy. And if I may just, you know, interject into another question you might have here, Google, because I think this is so important, is why children outgrowing their food allergy is really, really crucial. Mm-hmm. Is because, A, you don't want to be walking around with these allergies when you're an adult. But more importantly, and this is something that I always talk about and I'm so passionate about, is your quality of life when you have an allergy. Because having an allergy and being told you're allergic to something is one thing, you know, and I always tell doctors this. Please be very careful when you do a test and tell somebody, okay, you're allergic to this, and then say goodbye. Now leave my consulting room and now you've got to avoid this. Because for that person to spend the rest of their life, for that mother or father to now navigate this in their 4-year-old or 5-year-old or even in their 11-year-old is a huge, huge, huge quality of life issue, and it's a huge lifestyle change. Every single place that child goes or that person goes, every time they eat outside, every time they're at a social gathering, every time they're on an airplane, every time the mother cooks, every time they pick up a chocolate or a piece of cake at a bakery, this now impacts every single thing that person does. So, you know, when you're being diagnosed with a food allergy, it's important to understand the consequences of it. It's important to know what to look out for. It's important to see the right doctors, because if you're not truly allergic, being able to eat that food means your entire life changes. Mm-hmm. And also being able to eat that food means that you're practicing prevention for later on in life as well.
And so, doctor, is it then that if you suspect you have an allergy, you should be seeing someone like yourself that is an allergy specialist or an allergist? Do you go to your GP and you would be referred to a specialist like yourself?
Yes, 100%. I think that anybody with a food allergy, allergists will treat asthma, allergic rhinitis, food allergy, and eczema. Those are the allergies that usually people present with. And often, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners will be nodding now, because people who have food allergy generally have eczema and struggle with that as well. And they are related. Asthma is related as well. So these are all things that if you present with these things, you should see an allergy specialist, an accredited allergy specialist. You can check on our AFSA website who accredited allergy specialists are. And that's the allergyfoundation.co.za. But if you have asthma, eczema, allergic rhinitis, yes, but specifically if you have a food allergy, because food allergy is something that can be fatal and you want to do everything you can to manage it correctly if you do have it, but also to ensure that you're doing the right things to prevent it later on. I was in a restaurant recently, just socially, and I was sitting with adults, and we had all the kids sitting at a separate table. And I remember I had this child where the waitress went up to them, and the child sitting at the table just says to the waitress when she's taking the dessert order and she offers them chocolate brownies, well, you know, no peanut allergy, so I can't eat anything with nuts. And I remember having a chat with this mom and saying, you know, how's his peanut allergy and how is he? And the mom says to me, oh, no, we just did a blood test 3 years ago. I'm not sure how bad it is. So we're just avoiding all the nuts now. And I said, well, you know, does he have a hazelnut allergy and an almond allergy? Can he eat Nutella? Can he eat almonds? Is he eating legumes? And she says, no, we're not sure. And I said, has he been given an EpiPen? And she says, no. I said, did the doctor tell you what to do if there's an accident? And she says, no. And you see, these are all things when you have a food allergy, as a food allergy parent, as a food allergy patient, these are questions that your doctor should be able to answer.
Yeah.
How bad is my allergy? What do I do? Who do I go to? Can I outgrow it? Is there a cure for it? And the answer, lastly, because I know we press for time, is there are cures for things like peanut, and your doctor should be educating you on these things.
Doctor, thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate you joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much. That's Dr. Tulja Chakamji. She is a specialist pediatrician and allergist joining us for our health feature.